love you. In the spirit, I love to worship you. Out of all things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Out of all the things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Worshiper in me. You are holy.
You are holy.
Yes, you are God.
I really love you.
From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, in the spirit, love to worship you.
Love to worship you.
Oh Lord. Oh, you are. Don't you know we serve a holy God?
I really love you.
My God. Oh, oh. I love to worship.
I love to worship you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 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 oh,
out of all the things I am,
everything I hold, you look into my heart. There's a worshiper in me. Look into my heart. There's a worship,
there's a worship in me.
Oh, worshiper in me. I love this. Listen, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the worshiper is in me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the worshiper the worshiper.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit of the Lord
is upon me.
And the worshiper is in me. Love the worship. Lift those hands right now. This is a good place. Come on, celebrate it. If you really love the worship, come on, begin to bless him. Come on, come on. Give him the fruit of your lips right now. Come on. Everybody in this place, come on, stretch your hands before your God. Just celebrate him. Come on, come on. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care. Tell him how great he is in your life. Come on, just love on the Lord. I'm talking about your Savior. I'm talking about your
Savior. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Man, I tell you the truth. I love Marvin Sapp, and I really love that song. I love the worship. He said, out of all the things I am and everything I hope to be, he said, if you look into my heart, you will find a worshiper in me. Man, that song speaks volumes to me, and I had submitted it to Pastor E because I wanted to change the narrative that regardless of what anybody thinks about you, and even if it sometimes seems to what you think about yourself, at the end of the day, I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I don't care what the devil said. I don't care what his imps have said. I don't care what the principalities have said. I don't care what witches or warlock have said about me. At the end of the day, I am still a worshiper. And I wish someone would grab hold of that. Out of all the things I am and everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, you'll find a worshiper in me. Good God Almighty. I couldn't have said it any better. Look, I'm your friend. I'm your brother. I'm your cousin. I'm your nephew. I'm your neighbor down the street. I am Prophet Dwayne Woods here once again on the Now Network. I've missed each and every one of you. I'm sorry for such a long delay, but today is the day that God has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad therein. Hallelujah. So I want to give homage to my friend, my brother, comrade, Pastor E, for such a wonderful network and such an awesome job that he does as the orchestrator of the line. And I really, 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 really thank him for just being a listening ear to me when I have a cry and just being that big brother when you just want to just say, hey, man, I just need to talk. So I thank God for them. So on today, man, I want to talk to you all about something that has just been so, I would say, just on my heart. And it's amazing how I came up with, well, I ain't going to say I came up with the topic, but God had given me the inspirations because of a song that I used to hear, and Pastor E would know that those who are all on the East Coast may have heard of this group. And the name of the group is called the Ghetto Boys. And I'm pretty sure that some of you who, before you even got saved, you used to listen to rap music. And the Ghetto Boys were just one of those groups that was out there. But they came up with a song, Pastor E. And the name of the song was My Mind is Playing Tricks on Me. That was one of the most profound songs that I believe Ghetto Boys have came up with when they came up with my mind is playing tricks on me. And I begin to look at some of those words, but before I get into the words of what they wrote down, I want to ask you something. Have you ever made a decision that you thought was the right decision, but it actually turned out to be a wrong decision? And I've seen so many times and so many instances that when people make decisions, they say this is a God decision, But as soon as it does not go that the way that they anticipated on going, they begin to blame God because of the decision that they said was God, the decision they had in concrete that they said was God, the things that they said was God turned out to be their flesh. Blamed for all of the mistakes that we made when he's given us the right to choose, the right to make our own decisions. He's not the type of God that is a schizophrenic God. He's not a bipolar God. He's not a controlling God. He gives us the right to make the decisions that we made. And many decisions that we've made was not sought after. We didn't seek God after some of these decisions that we made. But yet and still, we'll put the blueprint and say that God gave me this decision to make. God said that I can do this. We blame God for so many things that have gone wrong in our lives. But God gave us the right to choose. Can I get a witness, somebody? He gave us the right to choose. My pastor always says this, and you might want to write this down. You can pick your choices, but you can't choose your consequences. Whew, good God Almighty. You can pick all the choices you want, and you can say that this is the way it's supposed to have been or supposed to be, but you can't choose the consequences behind the choices that you make. Did your mind play tricks on you? I just want to get somebody's attention today because there is some things that are going on in the minds of all of us who are believers that sometimes our mind plays tricks on us. We say one thing, we're going to do one thing, but our mind tells us to do something totally different from what we said that we were going to do. We said that God said do this, and then all of a sudden, we make a decision that changed the whole demographics of our lives. But we said, God said, do this. Was it a God decision or was it your flesh? Did your mind play tricks on you when you was getting ready to make a decision? Did something switch at a very important time that it just switched, that changed the whole demographics of what you were intended on doing, but because your mind stepped in, you did the complete opposite. Oh, my God. Let me read y'all this note that this man, they all came up with, the Ghetto Boys. You know, one of the guys' name was Scarface, I can't think of the other two right now, but they were very prominent in the rap industry. He says this about his mind playing tricks on him. He said, at night I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlelight sticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls just staring at a brother. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother always stressing I ain't living right, but I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching my back, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him. When I'm in my deep covers, when I awake, I don't see the brother. He owns a black hat like I own, suit and a cane like my own. Some might say, take a chill, B, but skip that stuff. This brother's out to try to get me. I'm pumping in the clip when the wind blows. Then he says, every 20 seconds got me peeping out the window, investigating the trap, checking my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's messed up when your mind is playing tricks on you. Look at the words that this awesome rap group duo, well, it was a trio at the time, that they talked about their mind was playing tricks on them. They thought they were seeing things, and they thought, but it wasn't really actually there. It was actually some other stuff, but because of their being paranoid about certain things, they begin to describe the paranoidness in their mindset. Is that like us believers? When we make decisions, are we paranoid about the decisions that we make, that we think that it may come back to creep upon us? Well, let's go to the book of Philemon. First chapter in the book of Philemon. I mean, for those who may have your Bible and want to follow along with me. My mind is playing tricks on me. So let's look at what Philemon says in the first chapter, verse number 14. It says this, and I'm reading from the CE version, which breaks it down to our own terminology. It says this. This is what God was saying to Philemon. But I won't do anything unless you agree to it first. That means that God wants us to come into the agreement of what he is about to do with us. That means that we have got to sit down with God, and we have got to come up with the agreement, God, that I'm going to do it your way. God presents something, and then he says, because of your mindset, I'm not going to do it until you agree with me. And there are so many of us who have said that we agree with God, but then at the last minute, our mind begins to now grab hold of the decision that we're getting ready to make, and then here comes fear grabbing us to the point where, am I really going to make the right decision? So we toss and turn. We have battles in our mindset. We have battles even when we're at the altar getting ready to get married to an individual. We have battles in our mindset exactly. Seeing that, do we really want to go back to school? We have battles in our mindset about, do I really want to live on this side of town? There are so many things that are going on in our minds that battles us, that tries to keep us away from the things of God. And it's nothing but a trick from the enemy. My mind is playing tricks on me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. But I'm going to go back and read Philemon after I read the second chapter of Philippians. 2:11, it says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. Which means that when you begin to make a decision, your cousin don't know what decision you're going to make. Only you know that decision. And then it says, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. That's why he said in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's the 11th chapter, around the 8th and 9th verse, it says, my ways aren't your ways, nor my thoughts your thoughts, because my thoughts and ways are much higher than yours. Because he's on the infinite mindset, and we are on the finite mindset, which is way lower than God's. So our thought patterns are off. But God is saying in the book of Philemon, he says, I want you to make the agreement, because I know my thoughts are higher than yours, and I know that what I'm going to do is right. So I need you to make an agreement that I'm able to take over your mind. The Bible says, if you turn it into the King James Version, I believe it says, without your mind, I can't do anything. God is looking to step in so that he can take complete control over the decisions that we make, because he already knew and already knows the decisions that some of us make aren't godly decisions. They're our flesh. People just say, man, my mind has been playing tricks on me. So let's go over here to the because I was reading this earlier, and God says, I know you've been talking about this, but I want you to look at this at a deeper insight of this. Now, over in the book of Genesis, there was a conversation that was being had between Satan and the woman Eve. But what changed her mind from doing what God said not to do, to the point where she did the complete opposite? Now, a lot of us say that it was a suggestion from the enemy. Yeah, and I can agree with that. But even though he put the suggestion out, she still had to make a decisive decision on whether to go with that suggestion or still hold on to what God said. Ah, my goodness. The Bible says that the mind is enmity against God. Even in the creation part that God created Adam, he created Eve, he still gave them a mind to make a decision. Whoosh. Ah, glory be to God. Amen. Just like us as human beings, we all come from Adam and Eve. Ooh, good God Almighty. And the same mind that was with Adam and Eve, the same mind to make the decision. Even though the suggestion has been brought before us, there's still a decision that we have got to make. My God, glory, help me, Jesus. And many of us have went based upon the suggestion and not what was already meant to happen for us, what was already written in stone for us to do, what was already on the heart of God for us to do. I found out, people of God, that whatever is stronger in your life, 9 times out of 10, that's what we lean to. So if your flesh is stronger when it comes to making decisions about what you should do, where you should go, guess what will happen? You will lean towards making that decision right there. Lord, have mercy. Can I get some help right here? Can I get some help right here? 9 times out of 10, we lean more to what is stronger. What's the strongest voice? What's the strongest voice? That's what we're leaning to. I'm getting ready to show you the strong voice that Eve leaned to, which causes her husband also to lean the same way. Good God Almighty. Because he listened to the voice. Y'all, man, I'm telling you, this thing brought some excitement to me when I was reading this. When I was reading this, I was just really like, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Because I didn't see it this way. And I'm reading it to you. I'm going to read it to you from the, let me see. I like the NLT, but I was going to try to read it to the point where it really breaks it down to you. And CEV or the CEB. I'll read it from a CEV because it breaks it down a little bit more. It says this: the snake was sneakier than any of the other wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day it came to the woman and asked, did God tell you not to eat fruit? There's a suggestion. Did God tell you not to eat fruit? Okay, I want y'all to remember that. Did God tell you not to eat fruit from the tree in the garden? The woman answered, God said we could eat fruit from any tree in the garden, verse 3, except the one in the middle. He told us not to eat fruit from the tree or even touch it. If we do, we will die. Then here he comes. Because of her answer, here he comes with his slick way, and he says, No, you won't. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. Girl, don't you know, brother, don't you know, ain't nothing going to happen to you. God has got a hedge of protection around you. Ain't nothing going to happen to you. His speech was so convincing to her that he says, no, Then he says, no, you won't, the snake replied. Now look at what he says. God understands what will happen on the day you eat fruit from the tree. You will see what you have done. You will see what you have done. Look at what he says now. I want y'all to look at this. He didn't say nothing about what God will see, because God sees all. He said, but you will see what you've done. You will see what you've done, know the difference between right and wrong, just as God does. The woman stared at the fruit. It looked beautiful. She wanted the wisdom that it would give her, and she ate some of the fruit. And I don't know how many people may be on the line listening to me who may be married, but I guarantee you that 9 times out of 10, if your wife had asked you to do something, guess what we would do, men? We would probably do what our wife told us to do or asked us to do, depending upon how she asked us to do it. Am I right about it? Just like a woman, if your husband had asked you to do something and you heard the sincerity of his voice, 9 times out of 10, you're going to do exactly what your husband had asked you to do. Now, your flesh may agree with what he has, or your flesh may agree with what she has, but your spirit, man, is up there screaming and yelling, no, don't do it. Don't fall for the trap. Trap. But what I tell y'all, 9 times out of 10, whatever is the strongest spirit that is speaking to you, 9 times out of 10, you're going to follow exactly what that spirit is telling you to do. Adam knew, because Adam was the first one who was with God. He was the first one who sat there, even though that Eve was still inside of him. Glory be to God. He knew what to do because he spent more time with God. And God told him and gave him specific instructions on what not to do pertaining to the Garden of Eden. He agreed to it. But as soon as God created woman for him, the weaker side of him fell for it, which is our flesh. The Bible says in this flesh dwells what? No good thing. It can make the strongest man who has faith, the strongest faith-walking man, to fall to its ways. Oh, my goodness. Don't have me go and get one of the strongest men that was in the Bible, Samson. Don't have me go to Samson, because he was strong outwardly, but his flesh was weak. Your mind is playing tricks on us to believe. Oh, my God, glory. This is the reason why we need people to partner with, comes to dealing with certain situations in our lives. We need accountability partners. Because when you're weak in an area, you need somebody who in the same area where you're weak at, that they're strong at, so that you may be able to call them when your mind begins to play tricks with you. Sis, hey, help me. I'm having a problem. Bro, hey, man, I'm going through in my flesh, man. I need you to talk to me, man. I need some help. But no, what we try to do, we try to walk this thing out, knowing that this flesh is tearing our backside up. So here is Eve, which becomes the stronger voice in Adam's ear, that when he begins to see her, she offers the same fruit that she partake of because of what the suggestion was given to her to do. She fell, and then guess what she did? She gave to her husband. She said, well, hey, since I ate of it and ain't nothing happened, I mean, I don't see and feel no more wisdom than what I've already had. So it must be every God must have been trying to trick us. And so Adam, what'd he do? He partake of what his wife had gave him because he loved her so much. He said in the word, hey, that this, she is bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Look how fine she is, God. You created a wonderful specimen out of me. Good God Almighty. Look how she's shaped, Father. I know he was bragging to all the animals. I know y'all got y'all pair, but look at my pair. Look at how she looks, and look how the sun is shining upon her. Eve, just like us men, we love our spouses, just like you women, you love your husbands, knowing we shouldn't be doing this, but then all of a sudden, because of our love overtakes the process of the voice from God. Oh, my goodness, my mind is playing tricks on me. Hallelujah. So let's go up here. The Bible says in James 1, 7 through 8, it says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's so unstable. She's so unstable, but yet and still we receive information from them both. Eve was so unstable with her thought process that Adam still said, hey, that's my wife. She's bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. Let me go ahead and, hey, it must be good because ain't nothing happened to her. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Kings 18 and 21, and Elijah came unto all of the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Why you continue to keep thinking about this thing when I told you and when I showed you God? Two opinions, her flesh and her spirit. Wondering, what should I do? What should I do? But the more he began to talk to her flesh, let me tell y'all something. The enemy cannot talk to your spirit man. He can only talk to your flesh because your flesh now makes the decision for both of you. Don't you know that we should be more spiritually minded than fleshly minded? There are two in one. There's your flesh, your spirit, battling for complete control over you as a human being. Oh my goodness. Can I go a little deeper? Amen. There's a fight going on. And if we do not handle the fight that's going on inside of us, we're going to make decisions based upon the strongest inside of us, the strong one inside of us. And if we don't watch it, if we ain't spending time with God, if we ain't on our knees talking to the Father, if we're not asking him for help, 9 times out of 10, your flesh is going to win the battle every time because you ain't putting time in with God. You ain't on Kneebone City, as one of the mothers used to say. You ain't in prayer, too busy and too combative about this world. Let me tell you something. This world is going to pass one day, but you need the word of God. You better know what's inside of you that's going to keep you in the last and evil wicked days. But come on. Come on. We got to go here because there's some things that are going on. The Bible talks about this. In the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, 5 through 8, it says, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. When you are operating in your flesh, you mind those things. You mind the things of your flesh. If your flesh told you to curse somebody out and you saved, sanctified, filled with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, guess what you're going to do? You're going to curse that person out, even though you know it's wrong to do. But your flesh enjoys it. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable, which means your flesh desires to stay where it used to be. Those who are argumentative, your flesh loves to argue. Your flesh loves to keep up mess. Your flesh loves to have sex. Your flesh loves to smoke cigarettes and drink liquor and do all of this stuff that the flesh loves to do. It's pleasurable for the flesh. It's when you finish doing what your flesh wants to do. It's when you become, and then you recognize, man, I've done some evil and wicked things in the presence of God. Shame on me. And then your flesh makes your spirit man feel so bad and so nasty about what you allowed it to do. My mind is playing tricks on me. So Paul had said in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, he says, "For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh." Let me ask y'all a question real quick, and maybe somebody will answer this when we open up the lines. Was Eve in the flesh? Was she in the flesh when Satan was speaking to her, or was she in the spirit? I'm going to let you answer that. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. Let's go back over here to Genesis, the 3rd chapter. I want to show you something real quick. Was she in the flesh when she made the decision? Because I want y'all to look at this. Now watch this. The verse number 6 in the 3rd chapter, it said, "The woman stared at the fruit. It looked beautiful and tasty. She wanted the wisdom that it would give her, and she ate some of the fruit." What was driven more, her flesh? I'm going to let you answer that one. Glory be to God. So Paul says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit." Verse number 6. "For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. But it is not subject to the law of God." Ooh! Was Eve's mind subject to the law of God? Oh, my goodness. Is my mind playing tricks on me? Is my mind subject to the laws of God when I make decisions without counseling with God? Ooh, Sheba, Tatalabosha. Oh, God, glory. Hallelujah. I said this was a God ideal, but why is it going haywire? I was on a conference line and I told the people God said to give, but they gave and I didn't use it for what they gave for. Was I carnally thinking about my own bills? I'm gonna leave that one alone. Oh, my goodness. Amen. So the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So your mind, listen what the Bible says, what Paul says. He said, because the carnal mind, now your carnal thinking, carnal way of believing is enmity against God. Again, it says this. For it is not subject to the law of God. Your mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then it goes on to say, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. when you have allowed your mind to make a decision based on your feelings, which is of your flesh, the law of God. Oh, my goodness. I know I got some people thinking right now. Amen. When you have allowed your flesh, which is the carnal side of you, what did the Bible say? To be carnally minded is what? Death. Which means that when you make a decision based upon your flesh, ain't nothing good going to come out of it. Ooh, good God Almighty. Ha-she-ka-ba-ba-ba-sha. My God, I don't know about you all, but I've made some carnally minded decisions, and they weren't based upon God's decision. It was based upon my flesh taking over what it wanted to do and how it wanted to please itself. And God was not pleased. Oh, shit, ba, 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 sha. Oh, God, glory. And God didn't get any praises out of what my flesh had made the decision to do. And then I'm all barreled up afterwards. I don't feel right. I go into a deep quietness that I don't want to speak to nobody because my spirit man know I did not please God. Has anybody ever been there? Whew, my mind is playing tricks on me. Oh, my goodness. My administrator said, Prophet, I need you to look at something a little bit deeper and go a little bit deeper in some things. Glory be to God. Amen. So man, Lord knows, I really want to, I'm going to just say one more thing. Let's go here. Then I'm going to open up the lines for everybody to just come on in. Amen. And then we're gonna pick back up this in week number 2 of November on Wednesday. But I want y'all to really look at this. Verse number chapter number 7 in Romans. I mean, we all read this about what Paul says, and I want to really listen. Let y'all listen to this in the King James Version, verse number 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I allow not. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not." He said, "For that I do, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." And I want y'all to understand something. Paul said on the Sanhedrin council, wise teaching from this council, that Paul feared a heart. So when something differently came up from his teaching, he sought to kill it because he didn't want it to even interfere with the teachings of the Sanhedrin council. This is the reason why Jesus had met him on his walk towards Damascus. Paul falls off. His eyes was illuminated to see something that he'd never seen before. He heard something he'd never heard before. But guess what? He was actually on his way to kill Peter because of the teachings. But God had another design for Paul. Well, his name was Saul at the time. And it's amazing to me that even in the midst of walking towards something to bring harm to, God does not just only change your perception, he changes your name. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing to me that your flesh wanted you to do something else, but because you had encountered the Spirit of God, it then changes your perception from what you was going to do to now do what he wants you to do, because you are now open for the Spirit of God to move. My God, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to read one more verse of this, and then I'm going to stop. Verse number 16 says, "If then I do that which I would not, I would consent unto the law that it is good. Paul was saying, even when I was killing folk, my flesh, my carnal side of me, said it was good for me to do this. When I was out here having sex, my flesh enjoyed it, but my spirit man knew it was wrong, but my flesh said, no, this is a good thing for us to do. When we were smoking joints and smoking and doing all of this stuff, this mischief stuff, our flesh said, hey, this is a good thing to do. But our spirit man was the one that was wounded and the one that was saying, no, we shouldn't be doing this. But because our flesh overrode the thinking of our spiritual man, we begin to do what our flesh wanted to do. All right, y'all, I'm going to open up the lines. Man, Pastor Eagle, open up the lines for Q&A. My mind is playing tricks on me. It's the topic of today. And I'm telling you, there are so many people who are in government officials who have made decisions based upon their carnal side and not the spiritualness or the spiritual side they are. They made these decisions based upon the carnality of their mindset. And I'm telling you, we need to look a little bit deeper, go a little bit further when it comes to the things of God. We're making decisions based upon our flesh and not on our spirit, man. But we blame God. God, you told me to do this, or you said, Father, oh, this is the right thing to do. And 9 times out of 10, we have listened to our flesh and not the Spirit of God. All right, y'all, that's today's topic. My mind is playing tricks on me. So I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor E that we can open this up and we can have a discussion. Amen. Have you made a decision that you may have thought that this was a God decision to make? But then God said, nah, I wasn't in that one. I don't know where that decision came from, but that wasn't me. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to open up the lines. Pastor E, you there? You there, my friend?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. My mind, I had to stop that one. Oh, I had to stop letting the mind play tricks, man. It's ironic that you got into a discussion about the mind, because I was just talking to the youth of Job Corps yesterday about a mind being a terrible thing to waste. And
yes,
you know, it just kind of falls right into agreement in how desperate we should be to stop the games and stop letting the mind take control and be a master of our emotions and see the victory. Amen. Hey, the lines are open. We got about 9 minutes. Dial one now. Get your question in. Get your comment in, or just your suggestions, or maybe other topics just like this. When you're in the closet, you do what the closet can do for you. Dial one right now. I think you know you got a subject up there today, Father. Area code 417, last 48769. You're live in the prophet's closet. Air code 417-8769 is your last four. You're live in the prophet's closet. I will come back to you. Pastor Terry, welcome. You're in the closet.
Good afternoon. Good evening, my beautiful family. It's always a pleasure to be in the closet amongst God's people. Amen. I'm just over here, Pastor E, laughing because he said, was Eve in the flesh or was she in the spirit? She said it looked beautiful. She using her senses.
Yes.
She looked beautiful.
Come on now.
So we know what she was doing. She was going on them senses. So praise be to God, because, you know, like you said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And, you know, I always know as a nurse's standpoint, the mind is the control center of the body. The mind tells us everything to do. Our thoughts are controlled by our actions in our mind. So, but you know, as you was ministering, I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, when R. Kelly made the song, my mind keeps telling me no.
Yes.
This is why when we listen to something, we got to listen closely to them words, you know, because like you said, Pastor E, Eve was acting out in her flesh. Our flesh will get in trouble. That's why
we can go all the way back to heat waves. When he mentioned that one, I got hit in the spirit.
Mind blowing.
Mind blowing.
Blowing
decisions.
You know, get you in trouble. You know, so sometimes we look at them words. We look at them words now, and we realize, and people. That's why the younger generation's got to listen to the words. I mean, the beats sound nice, but if you slow it down and you listen to the words to see what it's really, what message is it putting inside of you. The longer you listen to it, the more it's still in you. So, praise God, good word, and I'm excited over here. Mind blowing decision.
Amen.
Oh yes, praise
Amen.
God. God bless you, our family.
You know, the Bible was, over here in Philemon, he said, but I won't do anything unless you agree to it first. And then he goes on to say, I want your act of kindness to come from your heart and not be something you feel forced to do.
Amen. That's why prayer.
He said, God says, I want to agree with you, but I don't want you to think that I'm forcing you to do this.
Yes. He gives us
But he knows what's right. He the one who knows what's right for us.
Right.
Man, my mind's playing tricks on me.
We got our own plans, but God's got a better plan all the time.
Yes.
God bless you all, family, and much love.
May God bless you.
Bless you, Pastor Terry. Area code 678, last 40978. You're live. You're in the closet. Area code 678, last four. You know what, bro? You remember we used to know our numbers like back to back to back. Now we got to look in our own contact to know our own numbers.
Right.
Area code 678, last 40978. You're live in the closet with Prophet. I can actually hear them trying. There's something, a connection problem on that part.
Yeah, that 678 sound like it's from my neck of the woods.
I would hang up and dial back in. Air code 678-0978, and then dial 1. That'll bring you back into the queue. Amen, amen, amen. Let's try anyone else. We got a couple more minutes. Dial 1 if you have a comment, question. You may be here and don't even know why you're here. You heard us talk about this awesome life of Jesus. And you want to know more about it, you're curious. Well, we can break it down real simple. Get your starter pack, your starter kit right now that you can go forward and start building and developing your relationship, your personal relationship with God. You can dial 1 now. And we have a private green room that we can talk to anyone in confidence.
Yeah, I just got a text message from my administrator. She said Blog Talk Radio disconnected everyone. She had got disconnected. And the guy, that other number got disconnected too.
Really?
Yeah. But nevertheless, maybe he'll call back in. I believe, matter of fact, that was my minister, Xavier Jones. He's one of my ministers in Restoring Lives Global Ministry. Love that brother a lot. He's come a long way. To God be the glory. And I hope he's back in.
Amen. Well, everything on our end is live. We do have a full board still. Now, I will say that sometimes unidentified numbers do get blocked off. If you are anonymous, that may be a reason why you didn't get intaked into the board. I know you could hear us, but it won't put you on the board with an anonymous phone number. Well, amen, Prophet. You have spoke well. Let's see. Air code 678, last 40978. You want to try it again? You're in the closet.
Am I in the queue?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We can hear you.
Minister Xavier. This is Minister Xavier. As always, Prophet Woods, to answer the question that you posed, Eve basically was in her flesh. And I, and my reason for saying that she was in the flesh is because had she been in the spirit would have quickened her to let her know that, you know, hey, you know, what this serpent is telling you is not what God said. And the spirit would have led her to do the right thing. So I say that she was in her flesh. But the message, again, as I've told you before, the message just fed my soul. It was a rhema word for me because these are things, this is a topic that we hardly ever think about. The last thing that we think about is when we're going into our flesh, because there are so many of us that feel like, you know, when somebody step on our toes, we got to get them told. But that's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. We get puffed up at times, and then we get caught up in our titles, and we feel like can't nobody tell us nothing, but we don't realize that it's at that time, at that particular time, that we would have lost focus as to what God truly wants us to be doing. We would have lost focus as to the love of God and how we're supposed to be walking in love with our brothers and our sisters. And we forget how to listen to the Spirit, the sound of the Spirit. So we lean to our own understanding. And what the evil one, the father of chaos, tends to do, he tends to allow us to believe that it's God when it's actually him. And if you are leaning to your own understanding, you're going to miss God. You're going to miss God every time. So it's imperative that we walk in the Spirit. And everything that we do, it tells us to acknowledge God in all things. And as long as you're acknowledging God in all things, then the fact of you, your mind playing tricks on you, as I said before, that the Bible tells us to think on these things that are wholesome. And as long as we're thinking on those things that are wholesome and that are pure, as some manuscripts would say, then that way we're not giving way to the devil, the father of chaos, and we're not giving way to our own thoughts, because our thoughts are on Christ, our thoughts are on God, but our thoughts are on the Holy Spirit, and they will lead us and guide us into making the right decision. God bless you.
Yes. To God be the glory. I'm going to say this real quick. Now, when Eve did what she did, I want y'all to see the ramifications of when your mind plays tricks on you. The Bible says, then the Lord said unto the woman, you will suffer terribly when you give birth, but you will still desire your husband, and he will rule over you. Then listen to what he says to the man. The Lord said to the man, you listened to your wife and ate the fruit I told you not to eat. Ooh, good God Almighty. Didn't I just tell y'all that the more you lean to the stronger voice, you will fall towards that? The strongest voice that was in Adam's life right then was the voice of his wife. Even though God spoke to him, he was with God, named all the animals and the trees and all of this stuff, that voice was non-existent to the voice compared to his wife. So he ate, and because of he ate, guess what happened? Then God says this, I told you not to eat, and so the ground will be under a curse because of what you did. As long as you live, you will have struggles to grow enough food. Your food will be plants, but the ground will produce thorns and thistles. You will sweat all your life to earn a living. You were made out of soil, and you will once again turn into soil. Look at what God says because of the decisions that we make. You may pick your choices, but you can't choose your consequences. Your mind is playing tricks on you. Okay, I'm done. I got to say something.
How many times? Oh, but you know, but let's okay, and I love the connection. This the connection with Eve and Adam. But you know, I have to take it. This is just for me. I have to take it to a whole nother level because no longer am I subject to somebody else's mistakes or right doing, I'm held accountable as a child of God to make the right decision. I love it in Galatians when it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the
lust of the flesh. That's right.
It's a promise. It's a promise that when we as children of God start to really, Luke 9, when we decide to follow him and deny ourselves and take up our cross daily, that our walk is in the Spirit. So we don't have to be challenged. Now, are there going to be obstacles? Yes. But when we stay focused on our walk, of that spiritual walk, you know you can make it and you can defeat the flesh. Now, that's just kind of one of my tools that I use because I stopped giving the prophet, and you know me, I stopped giving the devil credit a long time ago. Because if he was defeated by Jesus Christ, when Jesus came off the cross, if he went and put him on, and went to Hades and broke the veil of the old covenant and put him on notice, at that point, he's been defeated. So now he can only tempt me. He can only waver the carrot in front of me or the drugs or the sex or the whatever it is that we fall to. That we have to be more conscious as Christians. And let's just take a label off of it. Just as children of God, to really keep our walk consistent. And stop blaming folks.
You said something right there, Pastor E. Yeah, you said something right there. Good. We need to be consistent with God, with our walk with God.
Yeah.
Consistency. We have to have consistency when it comes to the things of God.
Well, you know, you started at the beginning, but when you gave the analogy that, okay, we say, man, God gave me a word. God gave me a vision. And we go broke. We go in debt. We go get loans about something we say God told us that was really something we were telling ourselves we wanted. And we use God to make it justified to spend this money or to borrow this money or to invest this money. And then when it falls, the first thing we said is, God, well, you led me wrong. No, we got off the walk, and we got off the path of hearing God. I'm going to get out of there because, you know, me and you, we can keep continually going. We got one more caller on here, area code 417, last four, 8769. You're live in the closet with the prophet.
Greetings, Bishop Woods and those others in the room this evening. This is Mia Huskisson. And I was just listening to you, and as you were going through the scripture in Philemon 1 and 14, I thought about there's a lot in that scripture. It's a short scripture, but it says, I didn't want to do anything without your consent. I wanted you to help because you were willing, not because you were forced. And I thought about how God is a God of process. And so we first have to seek his guidance. And then we have to submit to what it is that he is revealing to us. And then there's the expectation that all will go well. But oftentimes it can be so easy that in that place we don't seek his guidance. We want his agreement more than we want his guidance. We're afraid he will derail what it is that our heart wants to do. And so help me that I can seek your guidance, not chase after your agreement. And I think sometimes without even taking note that that's what I'm doing, my prayers, my actions, my seeking a verse and a word, it can be a persuasive thing. God, I'm trying to persuade you into what it is that I want instead of seeking your guidance. Those are two very different things, and that struck me as you were reading that scripture. And then the other thing that came to mind as you were bringing up Eve is I thought about how it says in Philippians 5, it says, let this mind be in you, that which is also in Christ Jesus. And I thought about the fact that when Eve was in the garden, had Eve been fooled, there would have been no place for a serpent's ear. And I was thinking about how often God speaks and we put a comma where he's placed a period. Had she had a period there, she couldn't have heard the serpent because it would have been final. And I think say, well, if nothing else works out, so we put a comma with our heart where the Holy Spirit has put a period. And so I just wonder if we could be leaned in a way that when he speaks, it could be just That's it. Bottom line, done. No more room for any static or other conversations. So those were the thoughts I had. I appreciate you allowing me to share this evening. God bless you.
Is this Prophetess Huskinson?
Yes, it is, sir.
God bless you, woman of God. Man, look, this is my sister right here, man. I don't care what nobody say. This is my sister right here. Her and her wonderful husband, David. Man, I love them to no ends. Thank you, woman of God. Thank you. I thank you for coming on and listening to me on tonight. I'm so appreciative of you and your husband. I know he's back there somewhere listening. I know he is.
He's right here reaching for the phone. Here he is.
Prophet Wood, we've been looking for you every week. We come on here and you're not here. Amir said today, look, let's try it one more time tonight, see if he's on. And lo and behold, thank God you are here to bring a word. Thank God you're here to bring a word. If they're working the Lord, and we got one tonight, Bishop. Thank you so very much.
Man, God bless you.
That's all I got.
Today.
I'm just saying, greetings. The prophets have spoke. I got nothing else for you.
Amen. Now it's every and what now? That's my fault. I've been doing so many things, and it's no fault to Pastor E. He's already set it up. You know, it's every second and fourth Wednesday. Every second and fourth Wednesday is the Prophet's Closet, and I'm the one who missed the second Wednesday of this month. That was my doing, and the month before that. So I'm back on cue, and I will definitely be here. And y'all would know if I'm not here, I'll let y'all know I'm not going to be here tonight. But yes.
Prophet, I'll just send you a text. I'll ask you where you are. That's what I'll do. I'll just call you.
we can go there. Pastor Dave, man, I love you so much, man. I love your wisdom, and I love you and your wife, man. Just some awesome, wonderful people that I've met when I was in Clarksville, Tennessee, Pastor E, at our ordination services when I had got the call to be a bishop. And so I'm truly thankful for the opportunity that I will be over so many churches with concerning GNCC. This is called the Global Network of Christian Churches, and so I'm truly thankful. I still try to tell everybody, look, even though with the going higher and the levels with God, I'm still just a humble servant. I don't take it for granted. God could use anybody, but He desired to use me, and I'm thankful, truly thankful.
My brother, my cousin, my nephew.
I know, right?
All those things. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you, my brother. You have lit the fire in the closet today. I know we're all leaving in this place different than we came. I know we can be changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of our mind because of the word that has went forward, man. Bless you, man of God. Pray us out of here. Any announcements, anything you have going on you want to share throughout the network, please do so.
Oh, yes, sir. I also have a service tomorrow on my conference line, which is Restoring Lives conference line, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, and I believe 5 p.m. Pacific Time. We've been dealing with our mind is playing tricks on us for the last 2 weeks, and this will be my third week. And I tell you, Pastor E, if y'all listening on here, you want to come because the prophetic is so wide open that people can just walk right on in. And I do really believe and operate in the prophetic. And the title of our flyer says, "My Tricky Mind: Who's Fooling Who." You know, my tricky mind, who's fooling who? So if you want to reach out to the ministry, 470-588-5817. If you want to email us, you can email us at the Prophet's Closet, gmail.com. So with that being said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbled servants, Father, not looking for anything but looking into your feet, at your feet, Father, kneeling down, Father, asking for forgiveness of anything that we've done, Father, that God, that was not pleasing in your sight, anything that we said that was not pleasing to your ears, Father. Father, we ask for forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. You said in the book of Matthew, if you can't ask for forgiveness, you can't receive forgiveness. So, Father, we thank you right now for forgiving us because we're asking, God, that you forgive us. So, Father, have your way upon the line, on the people on the line. Thank you for my beautiful friends, the Huskissons. And, Lord, I ask you to continue to bless them tremendously, God, not just in their marriage, Father, but bless them in their finances, Father, and bless them in their ministry, Father, in the name of Jesus. And for those who called in, God, bless them in the abundance, Father, and bless this line, Father, the Now Network, bless it. Send money from the north, the south, the east, and the west, God, for the operations of everything that is on Pastor E's heart, God. And, Father, we thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And it is so, and so it is. Good night, everybody. Y'all have a wonderful day and a wonderful night, and we'll see you in November. God bless you all. I'm sorry, October. October. I'm sorry, October. We'll see you in October.
Family, thank you for joining our daily broadcast. Join us weekly, Mondays.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.